Hello and welcome to Follow the Sound. I am hosting tonight for Brian Kroc. My name is Greg Harvey, and joined with us, as always, is Mr. Jacob Crum.
Good evening.
And we always are looking into all the various aspects of music and the music world. And right now we have an album review tonight. But before we get into that, quick reminder, you can always go and find our website, followthesoundpodcast.com. There you can find all of our podcasts that we have, including This Week in Music History and other album reviews, typically featuring our fearless leader, Brian Kroc. So he's kind of out of town this time around. Where did he go? Do you know where he went?
Oh, I should know.
Yeah, I know, right? And I don't think either of us know where he went. But anyways, when you're listening to this, Brian, hey, hope you had a good time. So we're kicking into a classic punk rock album tonight that was picked out a little bit by Jacob, and I quickly seconded it. And why don't you tell us a little bit about this album?
Ooh, okay. Well, this album is by the punk rock supergroup Me First and the Gimme Gimmes. And when I pitched this album to you, Greg, I pitched it as the greatest Glee album ever.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue that. I definitely get where you're coming from here, because Me First and the Gimme Gimmes, of course, traditionally nothing but cover songs.
Right.
But this particular album was a little bit different in its own way.
Yes, this album is called Are a Drag, and it features nothing but show tunes.
Yes. So, of course, typically with Me First and the Gimme Gimmes, you know, you'd hear like Rocket Man by Elton John,
right.
You know, Believe by Cher, just stuff that was poppy from you know, years gone by. But they branched out and did nothing but show tunes this time around. So very exciting. And the album cover features all five members of the band in drag. Of course, one more thing I think we should mention before we get into the music is who is Me First and the Gimmes.
Ooh, we should do that.
Yeah. So five members in the band, at least for this particular album, because they kind of went through a few lineup changes being a punk rock supergroup.
Right.
So the band itself is Spike Slauson, at least for this album, who, of course, was known not only for Me First and the Gimme Gimmes, but also his punk band Swingin' Utters. So a big thing with that. Chris Shiflett, he is the lead guitarist of the rock band Foo Fighters. He was also in the punk rock group No Use for a Name. So he's playing guitar in this. Joey Cape, he's a singer and songwriter, best known as the frontman of Lagwagon, the punk rock band. Fat Mike, probably the most famous member of the group. Of course, a lot of people know him as the founder of Fat Records and the punk rock group NOFX. So Fat Mike playing bass. And then Dave Ron on drums, who is from Lagwagon as well. Yeah, so definitely, you know, all these bands we were naming, punk rock royalty for sure.
Yes.
You know, No Use for a Name, Tony Sly, all that was fantastic. Fat Mike with his empire of punk rock. So anyways, let's get into the music to start. This first track and all these tracks you will probably actually recognize. Maybe not every album review you get to know every song on here, but this first one is a classic. It's called Over the Rainbow. So track one on Me First and the Gimme Gimmes Are a Drag. Over the Rainbow, I don't think I've ever heard that one before. Where's that from?
Well, it's kind of from everything. Okay, so it was in The Wizard of Oz first, right?
What, Over the Rainbow? Yes.
Right. But I mean, it's been spun off and sung by pretty much
Well, this version is the one, from The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, yeah.
So imagine Toto and Dorothy being whisked away.
I think there's a Muppet movie that has a version in it.
Well, yeah, and they have a Rainbow Connection the Muppets are big on, too. So rainbow's a big theme.
At least in this. I guess now it's a good time to point out, all right, so this album was released in 1999 before the resurgence of musicals, in pop culture at least. And all but I think three of these tracks are actually written for female singers.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing too, is they all originally have female artists performing. So, yeah, Over the Rainbow, Wizard of Oz. Okay, so I think it kicks off the album really hard too. And a recognizable song out of, you know, this list that we look at here. One of the most, you know, easily recognizable songs. Everybody knows Wizard of Oz. But that punk rock, they just kick into it so quickly. And you can hear, very well produced, the drums really pushing. But, you know, a humorous side, too.
Of course.
I mean, they're just singing the song how they should, but it's just the fact that they're doing it punk rock and they are who they are.
Right.
It just kind of, you know, it just, they have that appeal. They have that gimmick to them. So, and plus the name Me First and the Gimme Gimmies. So, silly.
Oh, yeah.
Any other initial thoughts on that first track?
No, I enjoyed it.
Excellent. Okay, so this next one comes from the musical Evita. That's right. It's Don't Cry For Me, Argentina. It won't be easy. You'll think it's strange when I try to explain how I feel. I still So, another solid punk rock track there. I think one of the best things about Me First and the Gimme Gimmies is that they don't really have to do anything special. They just put out good, solid punk rock covers of these songs, but they do it really well. Once again, on this track, the drums and the bass, Fat Mike just kind of holding out those really hard bass notes, and you hear that a lot in the Me First and the Gimme Gimme songs, too. Kind of a dirty, kind of that bass rumble to it. Which I really like, that clean sound that you can definitely hear, like, the individual pick strokes on the bass guitar. So that's always cool. And, of course, this is a classic song. I mean, they're doing them justice, right?
Yeah, I think they're doing Andrew Lloyd Webber justice.
Yeah, I mean, to an extent, you know, because this album came out in 1999. It was released May 18th, 1999. And, like you said, it was kind of in a limbo period between, you know, people actually maybe really finding these songs popular back when they were, but yet it wasn't the big resurgence, and this was kind of just them putting it out there. But, I mean, at least in my world, I feel like this helped bring on that resurgence of the culture, you know?
Maybe. I don't know. Me First in the Gimme Gimmies is always kind of like punk inception to me, because, like, there are a lot of, like, punk fans that hate them, and feel that like their other work is stained because the group is comical and kind of goofy.
See, now that notion seems ridiculous to me. I mean, if you like punk rock music, you would certainly like this.
Right. Well, also, like, you look at the album covers, they're all like these like 50s like Americana, like
the lounge one,
right,
too.
Right. Even on the album covers, they're being subversive in a way. Like trying to tear down at the establishment of the 50s and the social constructs that America stood on, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, that's probably the most punk rock thing you can do is just like crap on everything, essentially.
Yeah, that's true. Even Andrew Lloyd Webber, apparently.
All right, so this next one here, this is also a classic. They're all classics, what I'm talking about. But people love the Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's a cult classic, and this one you may recognize from it. It's science fiction double feature. Ooh.
double feature picture show. Ow!
Ow! I love that. The wail with the reverb. Ow, ow, ow.
I think this was the first track off of this album that I had heard. Like, I didn't even know that it was coming out, and somebody played it for me, and I was like, oh, wait, is that? No, that's got to be me first in the Gimme Gimme. What's going on with that?
I think I recall that, like, back before you could listen to just whatever music you wanted.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when it, like, at the click, you know, click of a mouse. But I remember, like, they would always have, like, the one track that you could, like, download for free, just, you know, like, going on various websites, and that was, like, the one that they would always list. And so it would be the first one you heard. But once again, I mean, it's just it's good punk rock. It's not overproduced, but yet, like, they nail the harmonies, which I think the harmonies are the reason that it makes this music so listenable. And them as a band is that they do have good vocals, but then after they show you that they can do it well, then they intentionally do something stupid or silly, you know, or like hit a wrong note on purpose. I remember when I was in a punk band too, that was always the inside joke that, you know, as an audience member, you don't get them and you think the band's stupid, but like the people in the band are just having a riot because it's like, oh, we just played this awesome song. And then you play like the last note and everybody purposefully like, and hits the wrong note. Yeah, and then you're like, we're done. Thank you. And people, oh, that was weird.
Or I guess in Me First and Gimme Gimme's, the shtick is we're going to make the end of the song go for 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Or however long we feel like keep.
I think at the end of the podcast here, we'll pull up one of the song endings so you can actually hear it for yourself. Because like the one where it's just, give me a yeah. And it just, the song is trying to end.
right. In spite of themselves.
Yeah. So we'll tag that in there for a little ear candy for you guys
but
as well.
Kind of an odd song choice for Rocky Horror, don't you think?
Well,
I mean, it's not the most recognizable song from the show.
And, you know, because, of course, they could have had Time Warp. They could have done, like, Hot Patootie. I would have kind of liked, you know, if they do maybe, like, Hot Patootie sometime because it's got that rockin' feel.
But yeah.
Just one of the songs that rocks more from the show. I totally get what you're saying, but
I guess if you want to put, like, your own mark on the music, then Time Warp and the Meatloaf song are the two not to do.
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe not.
Yeah, and that's how they are. Is sometimes they pick the big hits, but sometimes they're kind of wise enough to pick the one you haven't heard too much. So I think it worked out well in this instance. So the next one here, it sounds a little bit different. I kind of like the way it starts out with kind of the cool, slow ska reggae feel, and then it kicks into a punk rock thing. So this one is from the musical Porgy and Bess. And, you know, in a punk rock vein, a lot of people will think of Sublime for this next song, too, because Sublime kind of does their own version of this song as well. If you don't know what I'm talking about, maybe you'll hear it on this next one, though. And this one here, once I cue it up on my CD player... You know, this technology, normally Brian Crock is running things around here, but since I'm sitting in the driver's seat, it takes just a few extra steps on my behalf. But anyways, here it is, Summertime from Porgy and Bess.
Gonna rise up.
So there you go. Gosh, Summertime from the musical Porgy and Bess. And that's me first in the Gimme Grammys, track 4 off mm-hmm. their album, Are a Drag. And, man, surf rock. That's how that song starts. Surf
yes.
rock.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kind of a really creative way to approach it, but then it quickly switches over to that punk rock and that drum, you know, just on that floor tom. That what are these mornings? I love this album, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you find yourself like sitting here, oh yeah, this and that, oh yeah. But yeah, so that's one of those songs. It kind of had to grow on me, but like the album as a whole, it's a good one. It's very listenable. If you like punk rock, you like it. But yet, this is the first one that it starts out really slow and melodic with.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of pacing-wise for the album, it being track 4, it works well, too, to kind mm-hmm. of give you a break. But then, right back in it.
And also, since the song is already in, like, a, I believe it's a chorus. It's not like a character song in the... I don't know much about Porgy and Bess as a show. I've never seen it.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's... that is probably one of the older ones
yeah.
On this list here. But yeah,
well, my point is that Spike gets to sing it in a key that he would normally, like, where his normal voice is. So you actually get to hear
yeah.
his voice as opposed to being two steps higher than he usually would be.
I see what you, yeah, like Over
album,
the Rainbow
yeah.
For, yeah. for a great example
yeah.
there. Yeah.
I think I heard or saw an interview one time where he talked about how much he kind of hates this album because people will request songs all the time and he hates singing half the stuff that's on it live.
Oh, well, but I mean, you know, that's kind of what you signed up for,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, because he's like, I think he says something like after like doing two of these songs, even as fast as they do them, his voice is like shot. So they always have to come at the end of the show.
Yeah.
They're always on course.
I do not doubt that one bit. And of course, we were talking before we started recording here too. One of the other Me First Gimme in the Gimme Gimme albums is Ruins Johnny's Bar Mitzvah. And that's actually a live album that they put out. I know one of the most notable tracks on there is their half-assed, would be a good way to put it, a half-assed version of Stairway to Heaven.
Oh, I haven't heard that. I got to get that.
Yeah, that's the one album that you need to add to your collection there. And it's live, so it kind of gives you an idea of how these guys yeah. sound live, too. And they do sound good, but I think they're just a little bit goofier live, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Being on stage, they have an audience in front of them, so they're just a tad bit sillier.
Well, on stage and in costume, because they don't just perform in like their garb.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you could argue every band that has a big show is in costume, but
yeah.
you get where I'm going.
But these guys might actually have a costume. yes.
Right. I'm the sailor today, and Johnny's the cowboy. Anyway.
So this next song is a classic, which, of course, got turned into a punk rock song from The Sound of Music. This one is called My Favorite Things, but you'll notice here at the beginning, Me First in the Gimme Gimmes, always kind of giving you a little bit extra. And so, punk rock fans, you might recognize a Bad Religion song at the beginning of this one. Anyways, here it is, track 5, My Favorite Things. And again, I wasn't ready for it, so let's dial it up here.
We'll get through it.
I know, we will make it through this album review, I promise.
Like a dog bite, like a bee sting, I don't feel so fucking bad. Rains on sun roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. Two colored ponies and crisp apple strudel, sword belt and sleigh belt and schnitzel with noodles. Wild geese that fly with the moon.
Oh, man. And just that harmony right there as we fade it out. Me First and the Gimme Gimme still killing it. This one with a classic, The Sound of Music, which, of course, these are all musicals, but that one, you know, was especially known for the music that came from it. So my favorite things. And as the track kicked off, you heard a little change of the words, but it was kind of an homage to Generator by Bad Religion, which is a huge song by Bad Religion. Mm-hmm. So, and of course, these guys all being punk rock legends, paying tribute to some of the other songs that they like too. So what are some of your favorite things, Jacob?
Subversiveness.
Whoa, we're getting really out there already. I was gonna say, like, this album is one of my favorite things. I also like Kit Kat bars. Well, because we gotta think, like, Me First and the Gimme Gimme albums and Kit Kats and cars that don't need an oil change every 5,000 miles and gas prices that are around $2. These are a few of Greg's favorite things.
All right, yeah. All right, everyday things. I see where you're going. I was a little pie in the sky there. I apologize.
Finding a dollar laying on the sidewalk. Not getting hit by a bus when downtown. Anyways, okay, well, I guess we'll just keep things moving here. This next one, classic, The Muppet Movie.
Yes.
Yes. Are you a big Muppets fan? Were you a big Muppets fan?
Oh, yes. In the day, of course I was.
We have a lot of Muppets at our house.
I watched the documentary on how they made the Muppet Movie like 13 times as a child.
Really?
I couldn't get over the bicycle scene in the Muppet Movie. Like
how they would get them.
They made puppets ride bicycles and you don't see strings. It's amazing.
It's magic.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, this song is magical too. You may recognize it from the Muppet Movie, Rainbow Connection. Different than Kermit the Frog there. Why are there so many songs about rainbows? About my best Kermit there. The lovers, the dreamers, and me.
Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I thoroughly prefer this version.
Yeah, you know, I would say the same too. But, like, you know, it reminded me listening to this track, the true story of my own mother,
mm-hmm.
who does not really fancy punk rock music, although she has a son who is all about it. So she's kind of secondhand gotten a little bit of influence from me. But I remember the first time my mom ever took music from me, you know, growing up. I mean, she actually, you know, she liked bands like The Clash and David Bowie, and she was a huge Alice Cooper fan. So, like, she had pretty good taste in music for me to kind of inherit growing up. But this album was one of the few times where I was listening to it, and my mom was like, "What is that? I like it. Burn me a copy." And I burned her a copy, and, like, this album stays in her CD player in her car. My own mother. It's nuts. It's really goofy. It's really bonkers. But you know, I think that's a testament, though, because it was just it's all about the track listings. I mean, she loved hearing just something fresh about these songs that she has known and loved for many years. So I think that's just part of the universal appeal of this band and this album as well. Any other thoughts about Rainbow Connection?
Not really. No.
One other thing I'll point out, Fat Mike in that song, I love when he's kind of, you know, he's getting up on some of those high notes on the bass. And that's the thing, is the simplicity of these songs, but yet they're all very talented musicians, and they'll throw in like a ripping guitar solo, or Fat Mike is playing some cool bass riff on there, and like on Rainbow Connection, when it gets mellow for a second, mm-hmm. and he's having fun up on those high notes on the bass, and you know, that's what really ties this all together too.
Yeah, I don't think that this album showcases their talents as musicians as much as other ones do.
They do kind of dumb it down for this, like intentionally.
I don't know if it's intentionally or if it's just the pieces, the compositions themselves don't lend.
Yeah,
because you can take Rocket Man, that's a '70s melody, and just throw in a guitar solo in it, and now it's Rocket Man as if played by Led Zeppelin,
Whereas
this, a lot of these pieces were written for orchestras, so every individual bass line is very simple because you have this score of of instruments playing it.
Well, and that is a good point you bring up, is that, and this next song, I believe, is probably a really good example of what you're saying as well, where this is a studio album. They could have gone in and they could have overlaid a lot more parts to fill it out, make it sound more like the original, even though it's like a punk rock cover. But instead, they kind of stuck to it as in, if we were playing live, like one guitarist would play rhythm, the other would play the solo, and that's it. Like, we don't have any more people to be doing other things. And that's why I say this next song, which is from The Phantom of the Opera, and it's the title track, Phantom of the Opera. But listen, and I think this is the one that, when I first heard it, that's what it was really clear to me, where they didn't overproduce it. They said, look, what's the version we could also play live, So here it is. This is track 7 on Me First and the Gimme Gimmes Are a Drag from Phantom of the Opera, the title track, Phantom of the Opera. Mm-hmm.
In sleep he sang to me, in dreams he came. That voice which calls to me and speaks my name. And do I dream again? For now I find the Phantom of the Opera is there inside my mind. Sing once again with me our strange duet.
The Phantom of the Opera. Speaking of my mother, Phantom of the Opera was pretty much her jam my entire life.
Yeah.
I think that this is actually the song that really caught her attention, to get the album, because anything Phantom of the Opera, anything Andrew Lloyd Webber, she is all about it.
At all minute and 45 seconds of this track.
Hey, you know what? Cool.
I just caught me that like half of every track that we've played, like half of the album so far, has been under 2 minutes.
So when you look at the track listing, there's only one song out of 12 that's over 3 minutes.
That's great.
Every single track is under 3 minutes. Most of them are under 2.5 minutes even. So we will get to it. Last song on the album is the long one. Yeah, I know. Coming in at a whopping 3 minutes and 24 seconds. It's the doozy.
Right.
But one of my favorites. I can't wait to get to it. So this next one here, coming from a musical called Fame. If you're familiar with that one, then you probably know one of the biggest songs from the musical. It's called I Sing the Body Electric.
I sing the body electric. I celebrate the me yet to come. I toast to my own reunion when I become one with the sun. And I look back on Venus, I look back on Mars, I'm filled with the fire of 10 million stars. And in time we will all
Oh, yeah, there's the one of those ripping guitar solos there. It's not really ripping, but it is a solid guitar solo.
Yeah, I love the snare on the song. It is so explosive.
It's so tight and punchy, which is like exactly what I want to hear. Like, that's one of my favorite things about punk rock is when you can get a very tight, punchy sound, which is exactly why I have like NOFX, Me First and the Gimme Gimmes, all the bands that are affiliated with this project all kind of have that sound to it, and it's freaking awesome, man.
I think everything that Fat Records does, they do really well on in that aspect.
They do. They do a lot of their things really well. And Fat Mike, you know, it's interesting because he's, even though he himself is kind of what you would call a burnout in a lot of ways, but he's also like the president and founder of a record label. Mm-hmm. Outside of the fact that he's kind of like a super punk rock dude, like soap, like crusty punk, like you wouldn't really want to shake his hand kind of guy, you know, like seriously. And I mean, I would shake his hand, but I would go walk. I would sterilize it later. You know what I mean? but yeah, I mean, he really promotes like up and coming bands. There's an all female punk rock band out right now. Who they are just now kind of starting to cross over from obscurity into, you know, some notoriety, and they're called Bad Cop, Bad Cop.
Okay.
So four ladies, and I saw them live. They're fantastic, but they just got picked up courtesy of Fat Mike because one of the girls in the band somehow had a connection with him, and it was like, hey, we're an all-female punk rock band, and we don't suck. And he was like, I gotta give you a shot.
Yeah.
Like enough said. I'm going to give you a shot. And he put them on Fat Records, which is what they're touring on right now. But it's just, you know, it's kind of cool that it's kind of like the philanthropic, side of it, though, where he just thinks good music is good music. And he helps these bands put together something really tight and really solid and really marketable. And it's just crazy because he's also like a wacko, like does like lots of drugs and sings about like the most crazy perverted crap ever. Fat Mike is like a human like Brillo pad that's like already scrubbed half the kitchen, you know, and covered in grease and sweat and ugh. But you gotta love him, man.
Yeah, you remember when compilation albums were a thing?
Oh yeah.
Where like every year or maybe quarterly a record label would put out a compilation of like everyone that, hey, here's what's coming next. There were never any sleepers on a Fat Records compilation.
Oh yeah, no, because every band at least had that one cut that they like. Yeah. They nailed it and they got on the comp. And then of course that's the comp was what got turned you on to half of those bands. And you would buy the comp because it was like, oh, NOFX and so-and-so's on here. Yeah. And you want to hear that track. But then there's all these bands that you're like, oh, this is all really quality stuff. And yeah, marketing and everything, it was way different back then.
Because
it was cool. That was a cool way to find new music, was just kind of finding a record label and being like, I want to explore this label because I like what they do.
Right.
You know, Fat Records, Epitaph was like that for me. Even, you know, Victory Records at one point. Yeah, the Victory Records has kind of gone through so much. Like, they go where the money is. you can't, like, Fat Records is strictly, like, good punk.
Oh, that's true, because, like, Victory, they really got into that, like, that rap core scene, like, in the early 2000s.
Oh, yeah, they had, like, Hollywood Undead on there, too, but then at the same time, like, it was just lots and lots of emo bands and Hawthorne Heights and all those, so... But anyways, we're getting off subject here.
Yes,
so.
We are. Because this next track, Greg.
This next track.
Proves that there are no bad songs. There are only bad compositions.
Only bad compositions. So it's from a famous little one you may have heard of called Grease. Grease Lightning. Except that's not the song. This one is called It's Raining on Prom Night. Just think of old Sandra D. All sad about her prom being ruined.
I was deprived of a young girl's dream by the cruel force of nature from the blue. Instead of a night full of romance supreme, all I got was a runny nose and idiotic flu.
you know, it's probably the worst thing that could ever happen to a person. So it rains on their prom night. I hate it when that happens.
Yeah. I mean, that's bad enough you could throw it into a Alanis Morissette song.
It's raining on prom night.
Yeah, I don't get Grease as a musical. Like I understand that it is a musical. I mean the story of the show. I don't get it.
Like, why does their car fly away at the end? That's always a good one.
We come together. I don't get it. It's just, it's like it's an ensemble cast where the writer sat down and said, you know what, story arcs, I'm going to throw this out the window as a concept.
Yeah, I mean, we just need to establish that they're in high school, okay? And then we can get on to the mm-hmm. what we're getting on to here, which is take lots of drugs and fornicate and be 25 and still in high school, you know, good life lessons like that.
Which you would think I would be into. Like, that sounds like it's right up my alley, but it's always fallen flat.
A hard pass from Jacob.
Yeah, on Grease. But however, like I said, there are no bad songs. There are only bad compositions. Because how do you get me to rock out to Grease? There you go.
Exactly, yeah. And so this one definitely highlights the because they're not afraid to just do any song, you know. And this one is definitely a female-led mm-hmm. song. It was written, you know, for Grease. And so the fact that they did flip it on its head and make it a punk rock song, and no song is safe, to be honest, but... Solid quality work, and we'll just keep moving forward from that. This next one, another very notable one from your favorite little orphan, Annie. This one is probably considered the best song from Annie as well. And it's called Tomorrow.
The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun. Just thinking about tomorrow. Here's the way the cobwebs and the sorrow. Till there's none. And I'm stuck in a day that's gray and lonely. I stick out my chin and grin and stay.
So there you go. That's pretty much the entire song right there. But, you know, I mean, there's only a few more notes left in the song. But nonetheless, though, one of the most popular songs from Annie, for sure. I think everybody knows. The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be what?
Sun?
Soybeans. That's right. Yeah, so... Another good one. I think that's one of those that, like, my mom gave the two thumbs up of approval.
Mm-hmm.
Annie, everybody loves Annie. Everybody loves this song. Clearly another female sung song from the original. And especially at the end there where he hits those high, where he actually gets the tomorrow, it's like it's right pushing the limits of that vocal range there. But that's what I love about me first in the Gimme Gimmes. Just like I said, no song is safe. They'll do it. They will just do it, and they will keep putting out albums forever, and whatever. Their country album has grown on me a lot too, as being a fantastic one, because country is definitely music that I don't really listen mm-hmm. a lot to. I'm familiar with it. There, I mean, I don't hate it, but I also don't actively seek it out.
Mm-hmm.
And their country album, I was like, this is cool. Their version of the Dixie Chicks Earl one. Is it just called Earl? I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, right.
I actively run from Dixie Chicks music when it comes on usually.
Yeah,
so.
and that's the, you know, point proven right there. Yeah. Is that it's like I don't listen to Dixie Chicks, but like, but Earl had to die.
Yeah.
And I was just, and like the punk rock version of it is, it makes you really want to get behind it. And that's exactly how this album was laid out. It was like, you know, you can listen in your car and you can feel like you're rocking out even to these songs, you know? So, can't hate it. Only two songs left on our album review here, Me First and the Gimme Gimmes, are A Drag from 1999. And this next one coming from A Chorus Line. And it's track 11 called What I Did for Love.
Kiss today goodbye, the sweetness and the sorrow. We did what we had to do, and I can't regret what I did for love, what I did for love. Goodbyes are dry, the dream was ours to borrow. It's as if we always knew, but I won't forget what I did for love, what I did for.
So a song, I'm not really too familiar with that one myself, but definitely another kick booty song.
It's funny because Chorus Line is like one of the longest running Broadway shows, and like nobody remembers anything from it.
Oh.
You know, I'm not saying it's forgettable. I'm just saying that nobody remembers.
Yeah.
I've never listened to this with headphones on before, and it's funny when he starts in with the "I kiss a day goodbye." There's a little stereo effect there where he starts in your left and then the right kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, that those little things always kill me.
It is like, this is it's a well produced album, but it's not overproduced.
Yeah,
and, like, that's always appreciated, you know, because they do have little quirks in there, and like every time they do a little ear candy or a little homage or something, and you catch him, or you know, when the guitar's just kind of doing a little riff, and it's. That's the overarching theme, is that it is. They're simplistic songs, but they're not quite as simple as you also think at first, because they are doing stuff a little more complicated and they're keeping it lively. But I mean, you know, they're not really trying too hard. The gimmick is the song choices and the punk rock versions of them, and they don't really need to think too much into it. So we got one last track on here. Honestly, you know, this is kind of a sleeper track, because when I first started listening to this, this wasn't like my favorite song, but it kind of became my favorite song. And I think part of it has to do with the fact that I do like kind of ska and reggae feelings. And it really stands out from the other songs on here, because it's not like the fast punk again, kind of more like how Summertime was, where it started with that surf rock. But a good one and a good version of it as well. This is the title track from the musical Cabaret. Life is a cabaret, old chum.
What good is sitting alone in your room? Come hear the music play. Life is
Yeah. You can definitely hear what I was talking about there. It's like a reggae ska feel, very laid back. Of course, the part you didn't hear was that later on in the song, it does kick back into the fast punk rock, just, you know, for like the last chorus, which is awesome as well. But that concludes this album. So I think it's a good way to end the album, especially kind of on the mellow key. And especially because, like I said, it does end on the high note again at the end of the song. But it's like, as a track, this is kind of a nice one to end on, and kind of ties the whole album back together, a little, pretty little bow, and sends it off on its way. So what do you think, Jacob?
I like it. It holds up. I like it as much as I did when the album launched. So
yeah, you know, that is a good point. Like just listening to it right now, I definitely found myself thinking, oh, you know, I want to listen to the whole track, or at least, you know, grab this album again in the next couple of days and make sure I listen to it. And when we do these album reviews, I don't know if it's ever a struggle as much for you as it is for me, but when I'm thinking, okay, you know, we're going to do an album review, this is an album, and I find myself being like, man, I'd love to do like an album review of like, you know, Red Hot Chili Peppers' Greatest Hits or something. I like those hit songs, you know, and I wish that like I could have a whole album of them, but I don't want to be talking about Greatest Hits albums. But you know, all of these Me First and the Gimme Gimme albums, that's what they are, is like greatest hits, you know, and compilations of other artists. And so every album you can listen to basically from beginning to end and love every song. And, you know, they might not all tickle your fancy, but it is. It's just kind of like, ha, oh my gosh, like they covered that. They covered that.
Yeah, yeah.
So fantastic work by Me First and the Gimme Gimmes. A solid album. And, yeah, and they went on to put out a few more really good ones, too. So,
I guess the thing that I struggle with most in, like, these album reviews is just the concept of, like, what can I say about an artist's art that's already an audio medium that they're not saying with that art?
Yeah.
You know? And luckily here, I don't think anyone's really saying a whole lot because they're just playing show tunes and trying to have fun with it.
Yeah, yep. And Me First and the Gimme Gimmes right now, they have a little bit of airplay. Their song City of New Orleans,
okay,
which is obviously they're all covers, but that's the single they're playing right now off their current album. So still relevant, even though this album came out in 99, it's 2017, and they are still getting airplay for their new stuff, which, like I said, they could do. I mean, it's brilliant. They could do this for as long as they want.
Right.
Honestly, it's a cover band. You know, I mean, most people start cover bands like to go play bars and make money on the side. You know, you have your integrity in the studio and you put out music that you write. And then you're like, okay, but I need food. And so you go and you play some cover songs, you know. And so it's kind of great. They have best of both worlds here. And Me First and Gimme Gimmes, you see them playing, you know, headline Riot Fest and all kinds of festivals like that too, you know, as Me First and Gimme Gimmes. And then their other bands might be playing as well. So I'm sure NoFX is probably playing most of the shows that Me First and the Gimme Gimmes are as well. So anyways, that concludes our review. Great album choice there, Jacob.
Oh, hey, thank you.
Yeah. You know, and of course it's awesome when you pick an album that like I've already heard tons and tons of times before too, and so we can geek out over it a little bit. But in summary, you want to give one final rundown on what we just listened to?
Yeah, sure. We listened to the most kick-ass like Glee album ever. Usually Glee Club, not into it, but hey, when you dress a guy in an Annie costume and have him play poker with a cigar in his mouth and then, you know, give it a really explosive snare drum, you got me. You got me hooked. You got my money every time. Thanks.
Yeah, so Me First and the Gimme Gimmes are a drag. It came out May 18th, 1999. The whole album, you may have noticed, clocks in 25 minutes, 58 seconds for the whole album.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. So anyways, that concludes our review. My name is Greg Harvey, and we're joined with Jacob Crum and Brian Kroc, our fearless leader out on vacation. So hopefully you enjoyed just hanging out with the two of us. Don't forget to check out our website, followthesoundpodcast.com. Big thank you to lineupmedia.fm, our parent company who allows us to do these podcasts. And they have many other great podcasts that you can check out as well. Just go to lineupmedia.fm and you can see them for yourselves. Also, don't forget, we have this deal with Amazon. When you go to our website, if you're going to do shopping online through Amazon, All you got to do is just go through our website, followthesoundpodcast.com. You can click on the Amazon banner and then just do your normal shopping. The only difference, though, is that without it costing any extra for you, they will give us a little kickback, and it's great because it helps us do this show because we don't get paid to do this. So, you know, just to help keep the show sponsored and keep it running, we appreciate anything you do. And, you know, you don't even have to pay any extra for it, just your regular shopping through Amazon. So one last time, followthesoundpodcast.com to find everything else you want, and we will see you next time here. And remember, if you hear it,
follow the sound. Yeah!
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.